Good morning. God bless each of you this morning. Welcome here. Greetings in Jesus' name. Do you understand what you're saying about the love of God? It's a pretty powerful truth. But only those who have really opened their hearts to it and received it personally really understand how much love God had for us, sinful mankind. You know, it's hard for us when someone does us wrong. It's kind of hard for us to think good thoughts about them, to open our hearts to them. It's pretty hard to do that, isn't it? But the Bible says that God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet against God, so to speak, God loved us. That's amazing love. That's a God who I want to serve. I want to serve that kind of God. And He is that kind of God. Praise the Lord for that. Let me write the title up here. We don't have any black markers, I guess. Let me write the title up here. Those of you who are able, could you kneel with me in prayer? Our Father, we come to you this morning. Hallowed be your name. Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for redeeming us, Lord. From the bondage of sin and darkness, Lord, you've set us free through the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for that we can have our sins forgiven and our hearts been cleansed, Lord. But Lord, we know that you had to bring us to a place where we could see ourselves. You had to bring us to that place of repentance and brokenness, and where we see our undoneness before you and see that we were lost sinners, and that we had nothing to give and nothing to bring to you but our own sinfulness, our own self and selfishness, Lord. And thank you, God, that you redeemed us and bought us. And Lord, we pray that you would just come and speak to us this morning as we've gathered in your name. Lord, we pray that you would break the bread of life. We pray you'd open up the Word of God to us and give us clear understanding. And pray, Lord, that even the things that maybe are spoken here this morning that we may never have thought about, and Lord, that may even call for change in our lives, Lord, help us that we would open our hearts to your truths and to allow you to speak into our hearts the very thing that we need. Lord, we want to honor and bring praise to your name for all you have done for us, because you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise and our adoration, Lord. We exalt you and we bless you this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you haven't forgotten the last message I had. Now, I'm sorry for you visitors who are here this morning. I'm not sorry that you're here. I'm grateful that you're here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just sorry that you didn't hear the last message that I preached, because this is a series of messages on glorifying God in daily life. And just a refresher, maybe just a little bit. Last time we spoke about what it means to glorify God, what that really means. And anyone remember any phrases that I mentioned about what that means to glorify God? Challenging my students here. See how good a job I did. Anyone? Anyone remember any phrases about that? We talked about an elephant. You remember that? And we talked about a small little bug. It's coming back. Anyone else? See, it's good for us. This is good exercise for us. Well, I mentioned how that glorifying God in the scripture in the Greek, if you look it up, glorifying God has to do with making something weighty. Weighty. And in my own words, it means when we glorify God, we are to render Him great. To render Him great. You know, in the Old Testament, God looked for a people who He could show His glory through. God looked at a nation, and God wanted to use Abraham's seed, the children of Israel, and He wanted to show forth His glory through this nation. Okay? That's the Old Testament. And we have the law. We have the things written in the law. They were the heart of God. To lift up His name as high and holy. And that's who He is, like we sang this morning. Well, today, God hasn't chosen a specific nation, but He's chosen you and I to show forth that kind of glory that He wants to express. And it's a humbling and a high calling for God to choose us to represent one so great. Isn't it humbling that God would choose you and I? You and I, we kind of know who we are, right? Who we were, where we came from. And it's pretty humbling to realize God is depending on you and I to show forth His glory in this world to the other people. About us. And the world today is also waiting. They're waiting to see something that's for real. They're waiting to see a Christianity that really works. And that truly is glorifying God. And lifting up God. This world, these people, the people in this world today, and more and more and more, are turning away from God. They don't want anything to do with God. They're looking for something. And maybe it's to our shame that we haven't lifted up this great and marvelous God like we should have. But we still have an opportunity to do that. To shine forth God's glory. Just want to say this too. Sometimes when we think about showing forth the glory of God, maybe we think of something that's really great or big, or what we think of as great or big to do for God, that, oh, God would get glory out of that. That may well be. But we need not do some great thing for God to make Him great and to glorify Him. Three simple things we can do that glorifies God. First, obedience. Obedience that flows out of a love relationship with God. That brings glory to God. Secondly, believing the promises of God. The example I have of that is in Abraham. In Romans 4, verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. What was the rest of that? Giving glory to God. What was it about Abraham? He believed God's promise. Even though he couldn't see it, he believed God's promise. And it says that it gave glory to God. When we believe the promises of God, you know what? You know what it does? When we believe the promises of God, it does what it did for Abraham. It changed his life. It'll change us too when we believe the promises of God, that they're for me. It changes our lives. And it gives glory to God. Thirdly, simple things. Having a passion and a longing to be like Jesus. And we can put in the word imitate there. And I think about our children sometimes. I know growing up, about probably 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, I remember distinctly in the wintertime that Dad and I used to go out and do chores and different things, you know. But I remember distinctly walking behind Dad, and like I always like to walk right in his tracks in the snow, you know. Imitation. It stretched my little legs at that point in time, maybe. But we also enjoy when our little ones, you know, Dad's shoes are sitting over there in the corner. And this happens, right? It's pretty common for it to happen that about the 2 or 3 year old will step into Dad's shoes and try to clump around in Dad's big shoes. All right? If there's something in that child that's imitating, wanting to be like Dad. If Dad uses the hammer, your 3-year-old gets the hammer, wants to use the hammer, or a wrench, or whatever your occupation is, you'll find your children want to imitate. Having a passion and a longing to be like Jesus glorifies God. I think of our daughters. They like to be like little moms. You know, they get the little doll baby and they dress the doll baby all up. They put it up on their shoulder and pat the doll baby and they rock the doll baby. It's sleeping now. Shh, be quiet. Don't be so loud. You know, just like the mommies, you know. Imitation. Imitating. Playing house. This is probably comes around with our daughters. They're over there at the little kitchen set. They have the baby on the shoulder. They got the phone under their ear. And they're doing something with pots and pans here and talking and exclaiming on the phone, you know, just like mom does. You know? It's kind of humorous. But you know, there's something about glory in that. They're wanting to imitate. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. One of the greatest forms of worship, or we could say glory, is to be like, likeness, to become like Jesus. You want to give glory to God? You don't have to go and move some big mountain through all your great faith that you had. Desire with the deepest passion of your heart to be like Jesus. it'll bring glory to God. You know, we miss that sometimes. And that's why we struggle with so many things in this world that grabs our attention. Is because we're not longing and desiring to be like Christ, to be like Jesus. Something else is our hero. Something else is what we're looking at. Until God's glory becomes our utmost passion and desire, our Christian life will lack purpose and direction. King Herod, we know a little bit about King Herod. There was a day in Acts 12, if you want to turn there, you may. In Acts 12, verse 21 through verse 23, it says there that upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Why do you think that's in the Bible? That's just a side note. We won't go there. But think about it. Think about this great man, Herod, who sat upon his throne and how he gave this speech. And the people were shouting, and I don't know what all they were doing. But obviously they were adoring this great man. And it says that he didn't give God the glory, and God smote him with worms till he died. Can you imagine being eaten alive? By worms. Worms are disgusting anyway, aren't they? I mean, just the thought. I guess they say that most of us have at least some worms in us. We don't like that thought. But I mean, literally, if you have worms and you know you have worms, it's disgusting. You want to try to do something about it, right? As soon as you can. You don't like to just keep on. What about being eaten of them? I've heard of people having worms so bad that when they coughed them up. Or they had worms so bad they were still alive. They were crawling up, coming out their nose. That's horrible, isn't it? I just want to paint this picture. That's how disgusting it is to God when we are stealing His glory. And our hero is something other than Him and becoming like Him. That's how God feels about it. When I bring attention to myself, when we call ourselves Christians,